Krishna pointed out in the last class which we saw, that there is a choice in the type of life, lifestyle, nishtha. We have either we can remain in society as a grihastha, or we can lead a secluded life like a sannyasi. There is a choice in the lifestyle, there is a nishtha. But in the sadhana, there is no choice at all. That's what Krishna said in the... So everyone has to go through the step of purifying oneself, chitta shuddhi. And chitta naishchalyam, everybody has to do that. For chitta shuddhi, they have to be in the domain of karma. Through karma yoga, they should do chitta shuddhi before they would gain knowledge, and there is no choice in this at all. So ultimately, what gives liberation is not the ashrama, the lifestyle that one adheres to, but it is jnanam only. So it is not the ashrama that gives moksha. So naturally, Arjuna has a curiosity now, because Krishna has offered a choice in the lifestyle, in the nishtha. So Arjuna wants to know which is the type of lifestyle that he should take to. What is the nishtha he should be in? And Krishna gives the answer that between the two ways of life, the active lifestyle of a grihastha and the secluded lifestyle of a sannyasi, Krishna says that the active lifestyle is the best one for him. That is the lifestyle that he should prefer. And we should remember that Krishna is giving the advice to whom? Keeping Arjuna in mind. Krishna is not talking to a jnani. He is talking to Arjuna. He is talking to several people like us. So to such people, Krishna is giving the answer that the active lifestyle is what is preferable for them. If it is for a superior student, for example, a student who is a Uttama Adhikari student, then he would have told him, a secluded life is better, go through Jnana Marga. He would have told him, but Krishna is, like many of us, he is in samsara. So he is giving this advice to him. So Krishna now tries to establish his point, why an active lifestyle is better. That's what he was trying to do. And we said there were three reasons for that. And first reason we gave was, without activity, a person cannot get moksha at all. Without activity, without an active lifestyle, a person cannot get moksha at all. That is, absence of karma, absence of activity cannot lead to moksha. That is the first reason that was given in the fourth shloka that we saw in the last class. Why it won't give? Without karma, what is not possible? Chitta shuddhi is not possible. Purity of mind cannot be attained. So when purity of mind is not there, jnanam definitely cannot be attained at all. So no moksha is possible without activity, without karma yoga. Now Krishna is going to talk about the second reason in the next shloka, which we will read now.
Nahi kaschit kshanamapi.
Nahi kaschit kshanamapi.
Jātu tiṣṭatya karma krite.
Jātu tiṣṭatya karma krite. Jātu tiṣṭatya karma krite.
Nahi kaschit kṣaṇamapi. Jātu tiṣṭatya karma krite.
Nahi kaschit kṣaṇamapi. Jātu tiṣṭatya karma krite. Nahi kaschit kṣaṇamapi. Jātu tiṣṭatya karma krite.
Kāryate hyavaśak karma.
Kāryate hyavaśak karma. Kāryate hyavaśak karma.
Sarva prakriti jayat gunaihi.
Sarva prakriti jayat gunaihi. Sarva prakriti jayat gunaihi.
Kāryate hyavaśak karma. Sarva prakriti jayat gunaihi.
Kāryate hyavaśak karma. Sarva prakriti jayat gunaihi. Kāryate hyavaśak karma.
Now Krishna gives the second reason here. He says total avoidance of action is not possible. Total avoidance of karma is not at all possible. And karma, why we have to analyze this? Karma is born out of what? Karma is born out of our ragadvesha, our own likes and dislikes. That is the root of karma. For any karma, it is based on our own ragadvesha. And ragadvesha themselves have a fundamental root. What is the fundamental root for ragadvesha? Ahankara. Ahankara is the reason for ragadvesha. And what is the cause for ahankara? Avidya, ignorance. So ignorance is the root for everything. Ahankara born out of ignorance. And ragadvesha born out of ahankara. And ragadvesha is responsible for karma.
So this cannot be avoided. So raga dvesha, two likes to dislikes, attraction aversion, all these things are all naturally following each other. Now how do we say that raga dvesha is the root for karma? For example, when I like a particular object, whatever may be the object, sense object, and I want to attain it, then what I should do to attain it? I have to work hard to attain it. I have to work it out. At least I have to get up from my place and go somewhere. And even if I want to be the laziest person, just to live, I have to eat. For that, I have to work. At least I have to take the food, lift it and put it in my mouth and then chew it. My body has to digest. All these things have to be done. So this activity of trying to do work for leading a life is called pravritti. This is called pravritti. Going towards it, going towards an object. Similarly, this is raga. When there is a dvesha, when you do not like something, again, I dislike that, and what should I do? I want to get rid of it. To get rid of it also, again, I have to work. I have to do something to get rid of it. It is not automatic, it will just go away. I have to do something to get rid of it also. So I have to struggle again to get rid of it. So that also requires karma. That also requires action on my part in the form of getting it away from me or pushing it away from me. That is called nivritti. So pravritti is going towards it and nivritti is trying to get rid of it. So both actions I have to do, either whether I like something or whether I dislike something. So raga and dvesha, attachment and this dvesha, they are responsible for pravritti and nivritti. Okay? That is how we are now trying to logically build up the karma. And pravritti is positive pursuit. You are going after something, trying to attain something, positive pursuit, that is pravritti. And nivritti is a negative pursuit. You are trying to get rid of something, it is a negative pursuit. So pravritti is going after, nivritti is getting away. Now, going is common in both the cases. Either going towards it or going away from it. Going is common, that represents action. Right? Pravritti means going towards it. Nivritti is going away from it. Going is common, so going is action. So, as long as raga dvesha is there, a person will be pushed into some activity or the other. Whatever may be the thing, he will be always pushed towards some activity or the other. So, when a person practices karma yoga, by that what happens now? He can neutralize, he can try to get rid of raga dvesha to a maximum extent. When he practices karma yoga and not just action. And that is the crux of it. When you practice karma yoga, as we discussed in the second chapter, when he practices karma yoga, he can minimize this effects of raga dvesha. And after reducing raga dvesha through karma yoga, getting chitta shuddhi, if this person wants to sit quietly and then study Vedanta, then it will make sense to him. Otherwise, it will be only merely words. So Vedanta will be merely words for a person who has not got chitta shuddhi at all. Will be just some academic exercise. So we saw in the second chapter, Yadate Moha Kalilam Buddhi Vyatitarishyati Tada Gandasi Nirvedam Shrotavyasya Shrutasya Cha. We saw it in the second chapter. So Karma Yoga reduces Raga Dvesha. Karma Yoga reduces all these likes and dislikes. Afterwards, the person can sit quiet and then reflect upon himself, and Jnana Marga will make sense to him. But if a person avoids karma yoga, what will happen to him? He is not doing any action. He avoids karma yoga, then raga dvesha will be there in full measure in that person. All the likes of everything he will have likes and dislikes. He will be fully there, and his head is fully loaded by raga and dvesha all the time. Person is going to be torn apart by this thing all the time. He will never find shanti at all. So as much normally, you know, for people who become sannyasi, they shave off the head. So as much has are there, as much raga dvesha is there in him. Shave it off completely. So that all raga dvesha is gone. So they should try to symbolically shave off the entire head, because raga dvesha will be gone. Each hair is supposed to represent raga dvesha. So a karma yogi has reduced raga dvesha by practicing karma yoga. That's what he has done. He can spend now some time in shravanam, mananam and nididhyasana. He can do so. Jnana Marga will make sense to him. It will appeal to him. So that is, he has transcended, he has sublimated raga dvesha through what? Karma yoga. By doing action with an attitude of karma yoga. But a person who avoids karma at all, he will have no chance at all for doing this thing. He cannot neutralize, he cannot reduce raga dvesha at all, anytime. He can never be able to do it. So wherever this person goes, wherever he goes, Ragadvesha will push him into activity. He can never lead a quiet life at all whatsoever, regardless of ashrama. That is important. If a person is Gragastha, pushing into activity is not a big deal. He will be always in activity. Always he has so many worries. He has to pay mortgage, he has to pay this bill, always something or other is there. But when he is in the sannyasi ashrama, there also he will put into activity. He will try to open, I want to open another center. I want to have so many shishyas. All this activity will be there in his head also. Even if he has taken up sannyasa ashrama, he will be also put into activity. He will like to form an association of all sadhus. Sadhu association, sadhu sangha. He has to go register it, apply for 501c non-profit organization, all donations, all activity. He will be pushed towards that because Ragadvesha has not gone out of him. Even if he is in the sannyasa ashrama, so regardless of ashrama, it is going to push him so long as Ragadvesha remains in the mind. So he will do everything except studying Vedanta. That's Swamiji also. He is also Swamiji. He went to become a Swamiji. Except Vedanta, he will do everything else. Why? Krishna gives the answer here. Nahi kaschit, no person, no individual, akarmakrit tishtati, can remain quiet. No person, categorically Krishna says, no person can ever remain quiet. Kshanam api jato, even for a moment, a person cannot remain quiet. Of course, we have to put a class here. If he has not reduced raga dvesha through karma yoga, if that person has not reduced raga dvesha through karma yoga, if he is an akarma yogi, then that person cannot sit quiet. That is a class we have to order, that is understood. Krishna is not saying, we have to say that. Why this person cannot remain quiet? Because prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma karyate. Prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma karyate. Because he is forced to do karma, persuaded to do karma. Because of what? Because of his gunaihi. Because of his own character, his own nature. Here guna stands for what? Ragadvesha. Guna stands for ragadvesha. Because Rajadvesha, they define the nature of a person, that is likes and dislikes, they define the person. What he likes, what he doesn't like, it defines the person. And the defining character of one defines whom? His personality. It defines his personality. So it is born out of what, that gunam? Born out of prakriti jaihi. Born out of prakriti. We have already seen this earlier, prakriti. And that is actually one meaning. Alternatively, we can say the guna to be taken to all the three gunas, sattva guna, rajo guna, and tamo guna, sattva, rajo, tamo gunas, which are born out of again prakriti. We have seen that also. So, prakriti is born out of. So, a person is forced to do karma because of guna born out of prakriti or maya. We have seen maya and prakriti, these two terms earlier, we have seen how both are same, we have told earlier. But we should remember that for both interpretations, whether it is guna as a character or born out of prakriti, the essence is same. The person will be pushed towards activity. It's going to be pushed. So whether we call it trigunas, or character, or ragadvesha, all mean the same. Person is going to be remaining in the domain of activity. Prakriti jaihi means born out of prakriti. Prakritaha or prakrite jataha prakriti jaha. So by the force of that character, sarvaha, every person, Karyate karma is forced to do karma, is forced to be engaged in action. How? Avashaha, helplessly. You have no control on that at all. You will be pushed towards activity, this or that or this, all the time. Avashaha, helplessly. How categorically Krishna says this? He is very forceful in saying that. So with this, Krishna has now given the second reason also, meaning what? A person cannot be without doing action. That is the second reason. Now we have to go to the third reason. Karmendriyani samyamya. Ye aste manasasmaran. Karmendriyani samyamya. Ye aste manasasmaran.
Karmendriyani samyamya. Yaaste manasasmaran, karmendriyani samyamya. Yaaste manasasmaran,
indriyartan vimudhatma.
Indriyartan vimudhatma. Indriyartan
ಉಚ್ಯತೆ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾರ್ಥಾನ್ ವಿಮೂಢಾತ್ಮ ಮಿಥ್ಯಾಚಾರ ಸ ಉಚ್ಯತೆ So what will happen to a person if he tries to avoid action by force? What will happen to a person if he forcibly tries to avoid action? That's what is said here. Yaha karmendriyani samyamya aste. Yaha karmendriyani samyamya aste. Suppose a person sits quiet without doing any action. You should remember Krishna is indirectly getting whom? Arjuna. You are interested in now getting out of this battlefield. So if you are trying to force yourself from getting out of action. So he is sitting Arjuna only. Because he is trying to get out of the war. Arjuna, if you want to remain then in seclusion and sit quiet and leave action, karmendriyani samyamya. Withdraw your organs of action. Withdraw karmendriyani. All your actions. Organs of action. So all the karmendriyas, by withdrawing them, what will happen? You have stopped the action. Because you are not going to do the action. But what you have not done, even though you have stopped the action, you have not stopped the cause for the actions. They are not stopped. Action itself is stopped. You have put a lid on your action. But the cause for the action is, what is the cause for action? Raga-dvesha. That's not stopped yet. So because the likes and dislikes are not stopped, you are still going to have in your heart likes and dislikes. But you forcibly stopped the action only. So mind full of what? Umpteen ambitions. So many plans, so many desires, all these things, so much of that, which force what? The sense organs to function. There are so many things in the mind, they make my sense organs, it wants to do this thing, that thing, it is trying to force my sense organs to do activity. And we are not allowing them to function. Then it will be like what? It is like, for example, there is water coming in a river, flowing a river. You stop the flow of water by putting a dam. You put a dam. But in the dam, what they do? They have got openings for the water to get away when the dam water goes out of control. If you don't have a dam, what will happen? The dam will explode. It will burst after some time and it is going to cause total havoc. That is what you are going to do by suppressing the action. Because you have not stopped the flow of thoughts into you. That is still going to be coming. Like all the water is coming into the dam, the thoughts are going to come into your mind all the time. You have not tried to do anything about them. So he says, Saha manasam indriyartan smaran aste. With his mind, manasam, he will be thinking of what? Indriyartan. He is going to be thinking of indriyartan, the sense objects. Indriyartan means the sense objects. He wanted to do meditation. That's what he wanted to do. But what? So what he does? He will go away from his place because he wants seclusion, quiet place. Goes away from his place, went to a quiet ashrama. Very nice environment, the air is beautiful, everything is so nice in that place. And he sat in Padmasana also. He knows how to sit in Padmasana, he sat it. And everyone thought what? He closed his eyes also. Everyone thought, great yogi, meditating. But what happened? This guy has not closed the thoughts coming into the mind. He only closed the eyes and mind is overflowing with all the vrittis, all kinds of thoughts. You don't even know what kind of thoughts. We are sitting as a yogi. Yogi is sitting. What is in his mind, we cannot even assess. Because he has not stopped those thoughts. There is so much in it. So, indriyartan smaran. He thinks of the sense objects. He thinks of all the sense objects. Reason is what? Ragadvesha has not been neutralized or reduced through karma yoga. This is a karmi. He is not a karma yogi yet. So, ragadvesha is not reduced for him at all. So, all these thoughts, they come into his thing. So, his attempt to reduce them in the grahastashrama or even in the sannyasashrama was not there. He was not trying to do that. So mind will run after all sense objects. Indriyartan smaranam. Then what happens? After some time, the ragadvesha will become so strong and so much intolerable for him. What he will do? He will quit that yogi. He will come to again life. How many swamijis we say again, quit back and come back to again? Married life and all that thing, going into all this grahastha. Again, because vrittis are not controlled. They have not gone through karma yoga. They have gone through, by impulse they became some swamijis or whatever it is. They got into akar robes, but it didn't do any good to them. They are not able to leave the domain of activity. Raga Dvesha is not going to be gotten rid of by them. So because this has here, it has not been intelligent, it's not an intelligent withdrawal. It is not withdrawal out of awareness, out of conviction. What he did? He only put a lid on them. That's all he tried to do. And it exploded elsewhere. So a cold suppression is going to lead to all these negative effects at whatever time we don't know, may explode any time. So, for example, a person who is having supposed mauna, he said, no, all Ekadasi days, I don't speak at all. Mauna. He is not doing out of conviction why mauna should be done. No. He wants to force it on him. On Dwadasi, he will talk twice. Or even thrice as much. You don't go to him on Dwadasi day. That's it. You got it. Same thing, Ekadasi Vratam, people. On Dwadasi, they will compete three times, four times, you know, all the time. Because anything that doesn't come out of understanding and conviction is not going to be lost. It will be just gone away. It will go away at all. So you can never suppress anything. Do not suppress anything. Anything, if you want to control, it can be controlled, moderated, only when it is by understanding it is done, not out of any other suppression. So if a person still suppresses by force, even after Ragadvesha reaching a maximum, then what happens? Inside the mind, there is a volcano erupting. This person will be a mental wreck. He will be angry. He will be this, irritated, annoyed, agitated. You cannot even go near that person. He will become such a wreck. So this is how the character becomes. The personality changes, such people. So it's always a dangerous thing. So Krishna calls those people by a peculiar name here, Vimudatma. Krishna calls them by a name, Vimudatma, such deluded people. Vimudatma, who have not diagnosed this problem. They are just suppressing without diagnosing the problem. They are called Vimudatma. And what is delusion here? It is external suppression without internal growth and understanding. That is the suppression. External suppression without internal conviction and growth. So Ragadvesha should not be suppressed at all, but should be transcended through Viveka. Do not try to suppress Ragadvesha. If you think, okay, I want to get something, if it is reasonable, try to get. Doesn't matter. If you force it upon yourself, that thought is still there, slinging on your head. It has to be removed only by understanding, not by temptation, any of those things. So, Nityam Anitya Vastu Vivekaha, that alone should come. Only when that comes, then it will be out of understanding, then I will never try to leave from that. That is, growing out of desires and not suppressing them is what Krishna is prescribing. Grow out of desires. Do not suppress desires. Try to grow out of desires through understanding. So one who has not grown out of desires but has suppressed them, he calls him a Vimudatma. He is calling him a Vimudatma. Atma here refers to not the Satyananda Atma, refers to mind. One who has not suppressed it. And he is called what? Mithyacharaha Uchyate. Such a person is called Mithyacharaha. Mithyacharaha means a person who is a hypocrite. Or externally, this guy acts this and that. Internally, he is somebody else, totally different person. He is a hypocrite of a double personality. A double personality, externally looks fine, but internally, within the mind, he is worse than even an ordinary person. An ordinary guy who walks in the roads, who has no knowledge of either Gita, Vedanta, none of those things, even worse than that person in terms of his thoughts. So Krishna says, who is going to gain by that? Saha. Mithyacharaha uchyate. Mithya means actually false. Mithya is false. It's something looks real, but it's not real. So mithyaha, acharaha means way of life. So mithyacharaha means leading a false way of life. That is mithyacharaha. Leading a person who is leading a false way of life. So what Krishna means is, if a person has got ragadvesha, likes and dislikes, there is nothing wrong. We should not think having ragadvesha is wrong. It's not wrong. Nothing is wrong in that thing. Only if you put an ashrama vesha, okay, put an akar robe and try to put an ashrama vesha, then having ragadvesha is wrong. Because the vesha represents what? Freedom from ragadvesha. Whatever akar robe you put, that is representing freedom from ragadvesha. But having put the robe, you still cannot have ragadvesha and try to claim the name of the ashrama. So one should remain as a grahastha without taking to sannyasa ashrama and accept that I have ragadvesha problem. That is the best way to deal with it. To avoid that, do not run away from grahastha ashrama and become a sannyasi. Remain in grahastha ashrama but accept yes, I have Ragadvesha problem and I have to deal with it. That is the best way of doing that. And what is wrong in accepting that? Everybody has got them. Who doesn't have Ragadvesha at all? Everybody has got Ragadvesha. Even Vedas themselves, they accept desires. There are so many Kamya Karmas. I am asking for this, asking for that. So many karmas are there, so many yajnas, rituals are done. I want this. Nothing is wrong in them. Because actually dharma, artha, kama, all these purusharthas are accepted by shastras. Shastras accept all of them. So there is no hurry to go to sannyasashrama at all. Remain in the sphere of activity. Be a grahastha at all, no problem at all. And ragadveshas will be there. Does not matter. Try to fulfill as much of your desire as possible in the reasonable and noble means. No problem at all. But if it is lifelong, that is only that is happening. Fulfilling desire only when you are 30, 92, then there is a problem. There is a time you should quit. There is a time where you should be able to say, enough. I have had enough of all my, whatever I wanted to achieve, I have. I have nothing to crave for anymore. That tripti has to come at some point in time. That contentment has to come. I have attached. Because there is no limit. Sky is, actually no, normally they ask, the Acharya used to say in his discourses, somebody asked, what is big in the world? Somebody said, okay, no, if you think big means among the known things, the elephant is very big. Elephant is very big. Of course, we cannot. What is bigger than the elephant? Is there something bigger than the elephant? Somebody says something else. Then what is bigger than that thing? Then manas is bigger than this. What is bigger than that manas? Is your asa, is your desire. There is no limit to that at all. Sky is the limit. You can go on wanting this and that and this and that. It can be always there so much. So, but whatever is reasonable, you do not have to discount that I have raga dvesha, it's negative to me. No problem at all. Have whatever you would like to have in noble means, but try to at some point in time draw a line that we should be able to get out of that. So lifelong it should not be without fulfillment. Sometimes we should have fulfillment. Maybe 30 years, 40 years, fine. When people start an active life, maybe 20, 25, they start their life, start earning and all, fine. Another 30 years, give yourself 55, 60, no problem. At least at that time, this our religion has all these beautiful rituals. From 55 onwards, they are doing so many shanti karmas. Ugrada shanti, Bhimarada shanti, that shanti, this, all these things are there. What are the shantis? Not to invite 100 people and then make, give a big feast and then, put your, this, I've done big karma. No. It is a shanti karma. It's a prayaschitta karma. I have been now all these years, I have been, for whatever reason it is, I have been doing this, that and all this. All these activities I have engaged myself. Now it is the time for me to sit back and then ask myself, what is the rest of my life I am going to spend on? So this is shanti karma. That is why prayaschittas are done. So many prayaschittas are given, done. So many dhanams are given. I might have taken a lot of things from so many people. I don't know whether they are noble means or not. Give a lot of dhanam. So, That is why dānena adānam thara. That's what in Samaveda there is a beautiful saman. Dānena adānam thara. Because if you have not been giving to people so far, then by dānam, then you have to cross it. That is the only way. You cannot say by anything, any other, I will say this, I will do this. No, by dānam alone you can cross adānam. So this is our religious practices. They have made it. So after some time, at 55, 60 and on, we have to now reflect on what is next. Not again same lot, whether 45 inch TV is better or 55 inch TV is better. They are all gone. Let these children play the video games with them. We have nothing to do with that. So we have to put a limit to our desires. So Arjuna, do not be a hypocrite. Do not have a double personality. There is no hurry to quit at all from this action of war. Accept your status. Accept your status as a kshatriya, as a grahastha. So, mityacharaha saha uchyate. So, with this, the third reason also is given. So, what are the three reasons given so far? Avoidance of karma does not give to moksha. Number one. Number two, avoidance of karma is not possible. Number two. Number three, avoidance of karma may lead to negative results also. That is given in this shloka. Right? So Arjuna, do not avoid karma, remain in karma, in activity. And that is going to be said in the next shloka. And Krishna is going to coin some more new things. Yasmindriyani manasa.
Yasmindriyani manasa. Yasmindriyani manasa.
Niyam yarabhate
Arjuna. Niyam yarabhate Arjuna. Niyam yarabhate
Arjuna. Yasmindriyani manasa. ನಿಯಮ್ಯಾರಭತೆರ್ಜುನ
ಯಸ್ಮಿಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ಮನಸಾ ನಿಯಮ್ಯಾರಭತೆರ್ಜುನ ಯಸ್ಮಿಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಿ ಮನಸಾ ನಿಯಮ್ಯಾರಭತೆರ್ಜುನ
ಕರ್ಮೇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗಂ
ಕರ್ಮೇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗಂ ಕರ್ಮೇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗಂ
ಅಸಕ್ತಃ ಸ ವಿಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ
ಅಸಕ್ತಃ ಸ ವಿಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ ಅಸಕ್ತಃ ಸ ವಿಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ
ಕರ್ಮೇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗಂ ಅಸಕ್ತಃ ಸ ವಿಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ
ಕರ್ಮೇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗಂ ಅಸಕ್ತಃ ಸ ವಿಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ ಕರ್ಮೇಂದ್ರಿಯೈ ಕರ್ಮಯೋಗಂ
So from the 7th shloka, the shloka onwards, Krishna is now talking about the performance of action itself. The performance of action itself, karma. Since avoidance of karma is not worthwhile, we have already seen the reasons for that, Arjuna, therefore, take to karma. Try to fulfill all your desires, no problem. Take to karma. But Arjuna might ask a question, if Krishna says, Arjuna might ask a question, Krishna, you say avoidance of karma may be a problem. That's what he said the earlier. Because it is suppression. By avoiding karma, you are trying to suppress it. I cannot fulfill my desires, Hippocrates, etc., all those reasons you gave me. I understand all of them. No problem, you have asked me not to do karma. Fine. But my question is, if avoidance of karma is a problem, doing karma also is equally a problem. Right? Avoidance of karma is a problem, that's why we say all these reasons. Fine. But doing karma is also a problem. When they enter into the field of activity, because Grihastashrama, for example, the number of problems there is much more than the problem of a secluded person all the time. That is given. The number of problems for a Grihastha is always much more than a secluded person all the time. There is no this thing in that. So because karma means what? Responsibility. When you are in Grihastashrama, you have responsibility. Responsibility leads to worry. Naturally, worries come. Even though the Vedanta says don't worry. But worry comes. But who can say, who not worry? I will say, don't worry. But worry comes. It is not, don't worry, be happy. Nice to hear. I have to see others' opinions also. Not only I am worried about myself, I have to see about others. You know, this story of a guy, I don't know whether I told this to you. There was a guy was thinking he's always a cat. He thought he's a cat. So this guy thought cat means, but all his friends, relatives and all, what is wrong with this guy? So he doesn't want to get out of the house. Well, the moment he gets out of the house, you know, other cats will, you know, pounce on him. The dogs will pounce on him. He's afraid, so he doesn't want to get out. So they brought a psychiatrist, all the people in the person said, no, no, you are not a cat at all. You are a human being. See, look at your brother or sister. Look at the mirror. He showed a mirror, a big mirror. And then showed him in the mirror. See, you are not a cat. You are like me. You are a human being. He touched his head and all that. Ah, fine, fine. Yes, now I am convinced. I am not a cat. I am a person. I am a human being. I am not a cat. Still, he was not going out. He was still in the house only. He will not get out. Then they asked, why you are not getting out now? You are not a cat. That is correct, I am not a cat. But how the other cats and dogs in the street know that I am not a cat? That is his problem. Always that is his problem. How the street dogs know I am not a cat? They will pounce on me. See, this is how people are generally. All the time thinking about others' opinions. We don't want to analyze and think what my own opinion is. What others are going to think. That is always we try to toil ourselves. Those opinions, all are all problem. And above all, what? Karma is going to produce what? Phalam. When I do action, it is going to give a result. Phalam is going to come, which can be positive, or most of the time negative. Any action we do, many times it will be positive, most times it's going to be negative. So receiving the karma phalam is not at all happy. It's not a happy thing at all for me. Karma is fine, but karma phalam comes to be a problem. So I will have reactions then. When karma phalam comes, if it is not what I wanted, I will have reactions, I will have anger, I will have agitation, I will have worry. All those things will come. So how to deal with all of them? So you are asking me to remain in the field of action, but all these things are going to come. How do I deal with them? That's a big problem for me. So doing karma does not seem to be a solution at all. Even though you are trying to ask me to do karma, it doesn't seem to be a solution to me at all. With responsibility comes worry. That's what is mostly happening. If the boss is not satisfied, my subordinate is not. If subordinate is satisfied, boss is not. Always I have something to worry about. The middle level manager is a guy, he's a real problem guy for him. The guy who is CEO is not a problem. He also has a problem, but he has to deal with shareholders. But all other managers, the middle guys, they always have some problem or other. He can never please the boss and the subordinate all the time together. Always a problem, most of the time. So if everybody is happy, then who is not happy? I am not happy. All of us are happy. I am not happy. This is what happens most of the time. That is the karma palam. It's a karma, I am not. So, like, it's like in Tamil we have this, the karahata, you know. Person is always spinning, this, that and all. Never stable. It's not this thing at all. Or is it, you go on a thin rope or a wire in balance. Like, how much of balance you can do? Keep on doing balance this way, that way. That's what happens in real life. So, it is as much a greater problem than avoidance of karma. But ask me to not avoid karma, but doing karma is also a bigger problem. In fact, actually, everybody enters into karma and they find themselves to be caught up in the pool of what? In the pool of karma, and they do not know how to get out of it. Most of people, that's a problem. They get into karma, they don't know how to get out of karma. That is the problem most people have. So what to do now? So you are now putting me between a frying pan and fire. That's what you are trying to do now. Because that's what I am now going through. So Krishna says, avoidance of karma is a problem. Then as a solution, if I prescribe karma, then that's a problem. So avoidance of karma is a problem. That's understood. Now, as a solution to that, if I prescribe karma to you, then that is a problem. I understand that. But I am not going to prescribe karma. But what am I going to prescribe? I am going to prescribe karma yoga. I am not going to prescribe action itself. I am going to prescribe karma yoga. That is what you should do. Karma is problematic as what? Because of raga dvesha again. Because this karma is as much problem as karma tyaga. Karma tyaga is avoidance of karma. So, doing karma, karma is as much a problem as karma tyaga, but karma yoga does not involve the problems of karma. Karma yoga doesn't have any problem as karma have, so karma has so no problem at all. Actually, if you remember the second chapter, Neha Vikramanashosti, Pratyavayaha na vidyate, Swalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. That's what Krishna said earlier. So, there he made a comparative study between karma and karma yoga. We already saw that earlier. And Krishna pointed out there that what all problems are there in karma, none of them are there in karma yoga. We saw that earlier. And how do you take care of those problems now? That we also saw that. By changing what? Not the action itself. By changing the attitude towards the action. Just to change the attitude only. Remain in the same field of action. Do the same action. Do not run away from action. Change only your attitude of doing the action. So, when we say karma, it includes karma palam also, we should say that. So, when we say attitude, attitude towards action and also attitudes towards the result of the action, the karma palam, both. So, karma yoga means what? Karma plus a proper attitude is karma yoga. Karma is any action plus a proper attitude is karma yoga. And the next question will be what? What is that healthy attitude that converts karma, a mere karma, to a karma yoga? The next question. About this, Krishna has mentioned earlier also. We have said what he said earlier. Karmanyeva adhikaraha te. Karmanyeva adhikaraste ma paleshu kadachana ma karma palaketur bhuhum ma te sangostva karmani. That's what he told earlier. That is the attitude that Krishna pointed out in the second chapter. That is where the karma yoga topic came. And it is that sloka that is going to be elaborated now in the following slokas in this karma yoga chapter. So, what is the healthy attitude necessary while doing karma? Krishna is going to say that. In elaborating this attitude, Krishna gives the introduction in this shloka number 7 we just read. So, this shloka can be considered as the introductory shloka to karma yoga. The karma yoga chapter, introductory shloka is the 7th shloka. The proper attitude to do karma and the proper attitude towards karma phalam, both. So, what does Krishna say here? Yaha karma yogam na aravate saha visishyate. Yaha karma yogam na aravate saha visishyate. The one who takes to karma yoga is superior. Superior to whom? Here we have the thing actually, three types of people. Krishna says saha visishyate. He is superior, he says. One who is taking to karma yoga, that person is superior. Now then naturally we'll ask superior to whom? So, we have to now look at people into three different categories. The first person is a person who is a suppressed, inactive person. He suppressed all his raga dveshas. Inactive, doesn't want to do anything. He's forced himself not to do anything. We may call that person a karma tyagi. He abandoned all karmas, force by force. He given up karma, but mind is full of what? Ragadveshas. All the desires are still lot of them. So a person is always suffering because of suppression, and he leads a false life. Externally, this person tries to project himself as a yogi, but he is. Externally, he tries to be a yogi. Internally, he is full of ragadvesha. That is one person. The second person is a karmi. Karmi is the person who is action-oriented, who is always doing action, involved in all the actions without what? Without the proper attitude. He engages in a lot of action. So much of activities he does. So he gets into karma. Then karma produces karma palam. And karma palam gives what? Reaction. Person reacts for so many situations and all. To solve that problem, he again does more karma, more palam, more reaction. Goes on for on and on and on. So he gets to another problem. And ultimately, at about 60, 70, whatever may be the age, that person becomes a complete wreck. So wolf grows older, never wiser. Grows all this time. Never it became wiser. All the times, so all bad habits, even at those ages, they get all into this. So he got into karma, but did not know how intelligently to get out of karma. This person is a karmi. Instead of helping karma, what he did? It made a very big bondage for him, and that person suffers. That is the karmi. So karma tyagi and karmi. Now what is the third person? So karma tyagi suffers because of suppression. Suppression of his ragadveshas. And a karmi suffers because of karma itself. The reaction, the anger, or this agitation. He suffers because of that. And the third person is the one who is not a karma tyagi and he is not sitting idle. He is doing a lot of work. At the same time, who is not caught up in the pool of karma also. He is neither number one nor number two. He is not a karma tyagi. He is also not caught in the pool of karma. The one who does karma all the time, keeping his balance. He keeps his balance. That person is called karma yogi. Samatvam yoga uchyate. So this person keeps his balance all the time. So we have karma tyagi, we have karmi, and we have karma yogi. These are the three types of people. So karma yogi is superior to karmi and karma tyagi. That's what Krishna is addressing here. Yeah, karma yogi is superior to both of them. So Krishna says, yaha karma yogam na arabate saha visishyate. The one who takes to karma yoga is superior. With what attitude does he perform karma yoga? Krishna says, he does that karmendriyahi. He does not suppress them. He does all action with all his karmendriyas, no problem. But he is visishyate, he is superior to the other two. Then what is the criteria for karma yoga? Two important criteria of karma yoga are given here. Indriyani manasa niyamya. Indriyani manasa niyamya. One of the most important conditions given here, which is sense control. Sense control is the most important condition. Whatever may be the trouble, whatever might come out of that thing, one should not give up sense control. Once he becomes a slave to his sense organs, all these sense situations, attractions, then that person will get into addiction. Possible he will get into addiction, which comes out of what? Lack of sense control. So sense control is not exercised, it may lead to addiction. So once we enter into an active lifestyle, the first condition is to follow, wherever it's possible to follow, is I will not allow the sense organs to go amok. Always we should remind ourselves, I will not be pulled down by my sense organs. If they tempt me, I'll put always a speed breaker. That's what I should always try to do. So, indriyani niyamya. Indriyani niyamya refers to indriya nigraha, otherwise known as dama. We already seen this earlier. Manas, this shama is mano nigraha. This is indriya nigraha, is dama. Moderation. This is moderation. However tempting it can be, I have to moderate my temptation. I have to do that. If moderation is taken, one can get out later. If moderation is taken up, one can get out later. But if one completely gets into that, it is very difficult to get out. So always moderate. You should always moderate. Moderation is the ability to do what? Why moderation means what? Moderation means the ability to get out of it, to drop it anytime. I'll be able to walk out of it anytime without any problem. That is moderation. Suppression is not. Moderation is this. I will be able to get out of it any time. So, indriyani niyamya. All the time one should be alert. Sense control should be alert. I should not be trapped into a weakness at all any time. One has to be alert. If one is not alert, one can be trapped into weakness anytime, because that is the power of senses that will drag one away. So the second criterion is asaktaha. Asaktaha, without attachment or with detachment. We can say, do any action without attachment or with detachment. Detachment towards what? Especially towards the phalam. Detachment is not towards the action. Detachment is towards the phalam, karma phalam, the result of the action. Be detached towards that. And what do we really mean by that actually? Karmani yeha adhikaraha te. For doing action only, you have got the right. Mapalesh. That is what we should have all the time in my mind. So I have done this action. It is done expecting this result. I have done this action. I have done a lot of homework. I prepared myself to do this action. I expected this result. This is what I expect out of this action. But I should tell my mind what? In the beginning itself, that expected result may or may not come. Do not despair. That we have to remind ourselves all the time. You have no control on the result. You have control only on the action. So I should say to my mind all the time, this is what I have done, this is what I expected the result will be. But I should be prepared to accept whatever may be the result. So I have the right over the karma alone. Doing the action well is in my hand. I can put the best foot forward, prepare several days. All this we can do, no problem. Once the action is done, the result is not in our control. We have to keep our fingers crossed only. So suggest to the mind in the beginning itself, so that you don't depress later. In the beginning, when you do the action itself, you do tell the mind, hey, this can become this, no problem at all. Because the law of karma are not changeable. They are not changeable. We cannot change it. Nobody can change it, even by the Lord. Lord of karma cannot be changed even by the God. So when the Lord takes an avatara, he has to follow that too. Even if the Lord takes Krishna avatara, he has to also go through his prarabdha. That law of karma he cannot change. If he has to be killed by some hunter, he has to be. He is Lord, but still he has to go through that. No choice. So even Lord cannot change it. That's the law of karma. So since law of karma cannot be changed, the result cannot be changed also. Results cannot be changed also. Then only one thing that can change is what? Law of karma cannot change. Result cannot change. What can change? Only my attitude can change. That I can change. I can train train my mind to change my attitude. And that attitude is what? Is the readiness to receive any result. That is the readiness to receive any result. That is called a detachment. Without attachment or asaktaha. By that Krishna means detachment or without attachment. So hope for the best. And you know, need not be pessimistic at all. We can be very optimistic. Hope for always the best. No problem at all. But when I was a child, we didn't have a school center to write the school final exam in the village. I was studying in a village. So he has to put me in a town where the school center was there. So he will go and put me in some friend's house for that 1 week, 10 days for me to stay there and write the exam and come back. So when he drops me there, when he leaves, he will tell. So tomorrow, day after, write a letter saying that you wrote the exam well. The exam has not started. But he's asked me to write a letter that I did it well. I have to be something wrong. How am I going to do? I don't know yet. But he will ask me, write a letter that you have done well. That's what he is looking for. Of course, that's the parent who is satisfied. Every parent looks for that. But nothing wrong in being optimistic. No problem at all. Okay? So such a person, visishyate. He is such a person, is supreme, is superior. So Arjuna, do not avoid karma. Do not avoid karma. And I do not ask you to take to karma also. What I do? Take to karma yoga. Do not take to karma. Karma yoga, which is nothing but acting with sense control and with the readiness to receive anything in life. Because life can pose anything, we don't know. So be prepared to receive anything in life. Some we might have liked, some we may not have liked, doesn't matter. Whatever comes, we should be able to accept them and act accordingly. So this is the introduction to karma yoga topic. Krishna is giving this introduction here, and now one he is going to elaborate karma yoga topic. Niyatam kuru karmatvam.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Niyatam kuru karmatvam.
Karma jayohya karmanaha.
Karma jayohya karmanaha. Karma jayohya karmanaha.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Karma jayohya karmanaha.
Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Karma jayohya karmanaha.
యాత్రాపి చ తే
శరీర యాత్రాపి చ తే శరీర యాత్రాపి చ తే న
ప్రసిద్ధ్యేద కర్మణః
న ప్రసిద్ధ్యేద కర్మణః న ప్రసిద్ధ్యేద కర్మణః
శరీర యాత్రాపి చ తే న ప్రసిద్ధ్యేద కర్మణః
శరీర యాత్రాపి చ తే న ప్రసిద్ధ్యేద కర్మణః
Krishna said, Karma Yoga is nothing but karma plus an attitude. That's the right attitude. That's what Karma Yoga we define. And what is that attitude? Now Krishna is trying to address that attitude from four different angles. What do we mean by the right attitude? Because right attitude is qualitative. So Krishna tries to address it from four different angles. We can choose any particular angle we want according to our own mentality. See, this is the glory of Gita. Depending on the level of a person, like a mother, that's why in the first shloka itself, Gita was considered a mother. Why? Because the mother, if the child is only 10 months old, the mother knows what food to give. The child becomes 4 years old, mother knows what to give. The child becomes 15 years youth, what to give. The child may be 60 years old, mother knows what to give. That's the nature of mother. Gita gives, depending on one's ability to absorb, understand, gives different things for different people. That's what this does. So, when we say, Krishna, first type, the first angle is do karma with an attitude of a duty. Do any karma, it is my duty to do that. Do that karma as a duty, considering every action that I do as a duty. That's what he is calling. Krishna calls them niyatam. Niyatam kuru karma. Niyatam means a sense of duty. Do everything as a duty. So when we say duty, then the question will be what? Who prescribes this duty? Who are you to tell me what my duty is? Everybody will ask, right? So who are you to tell me? Who tells me the duty? Who is the person who tells? And in our tradition, duty is supposed to be prescribed by one person, the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself, He prescribes the duty for us. And He commanded those duties to the people. Therefore, take every action as a duty commandment by the Lord. That is what our scriptures say. And how does the Lord command? What the Lord did? He didn't come here and command anything to somebody. How did He command? He doesn't command directly, but He commanded through the scriptures, the Vedas. That is why we call Vedas as apaurisheyaha, not of a human origin. Vedas are scriptures which are not written by any human being. They are supposed to be apaurisheyaha. So, duty can be defined as something that is commanded by the Lord or by Vedas. Both are meaning the same. Vedas is supposed to be the mouthpiece of the Lord. So, whatever Veda says is what the Lord says. This is called in Sanskrit niyatam. The word niyatam refers to the stipulated, that is prescribed, enjoined. These are all called niyatam. Also called nihitam. Both are. And how does the Lord prescribe? Based on, Lord also prescribes, we said apurusheyaha, but how the Lord prescribes this duty? We have asked who prescribes the duty, we have answered. But how the Lord Himself prescribed, we can ask that question. If you are not asking, I will ask that question. How the Lord Himself prescribed the duty? Based on one's varna and ashrama. Varna ashrama dharma comes here. So based on one's varna dharma and ashrama dharma, Krishna is going to talk elaborately about this thing later. But we are going to only touch upon them here. Varna means the type of profession. Do not mix up with caste or whatever it is we know today. Varna means type of profession, a type of social role, one place in society. That is varna. And ashrama is the stage of life. It can be a brahmachari ashrama, grihastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, sannyasa ashrama. It is a stage of life. It's a student life, grihastha life, and vanaprastha life. All those things, sannyasi. So, according to a social role, varna, and according to the stage of life he is in, ashrama, these duties are prescribed by the Lord. Okay. They are called varna ashrama dharma. Varna ashrama dharma called niyatam. So niyatam means varna ashrama dharma. And how should I understand duty again? Actually Shankaracharya says in his commentary, somewhere else, Swami Bridyan Nyayena. He gives it as Swami Bridyan Nyayena. I look upon the Lord as my master, and I am his servant. So a duty should be performed as a servant performs the duty as commanded by the master.
That is what Shankaracharya says somewhere else. So I look upon myself as a servant and upon God as my master. That is the attitude a person can take. So Lord has created the entire world and He has created me and all the people around me. And Lord wants to run the show of His creation. And for that He has allotted to various people for the cosmic show that He is running so many works. He wants somebody to do this work, somebody to do that work, all this. So Lord is the cosmic organizer. He is the sutradhari. Lord is the sutradhari. When He prescribes any duty, there is a purpose behind that. I may not understand, but the CEO understands. The CEO of a company, he knows the total picture of the company. Every worker may not know what the CEO knows. He is prescribed some work. He just does it. He may not know the total picture. Sometimes it may look stupid to him, but he has to still do it because the CEO knows why that is to be done. The same way the sutradhari, Lord knows what is the purpose behind every action. So just to do the action as prescribed in the Shastras. So even though I do not know the purpose myself, does not matter. I understand that it is purposeful act, and so I implicitly obey the Lord's commandments. That is called the duty. So that attitude of obedience, ready to do my duty, violating which I will have problems. I understand that very clearly because it is Lord's commandment. So niyata rupena, that is what is said here in this shloka. Niyatam kuru karmatvam. O Arjuna, do your duty as prescribed by the Lord. You might not know the purpose, does not matter, but still follow. That's what he says. For doing duty, when I do duty, what is the next thing? For doing a duty, I do not expect a reward. Duty you are supposed to do. Do not expect a reward for it. No response. No appreciation. For doing duty, no reward or no appreciation from any person I should expect. If I expect, I may get, I may not get. It is true even with our children. You expect that you may do a lot of things to your children. At the old age, he is going to do things. He may put you in an ashram perhaps or send a flower on Mother's Day. So, that's what happens. That's reality. It's your duty. You got the children, you have to raise them. It's your duty. Do not expect anything back from them. So, this is what happens. So, for a karma yogi, he does not have this pinch at all. If he is a karma yogi, he doesn't have any expectations at all whatsoever. He does not expect anything. He does it as a sense of duty. It is a duty for him. So, this duty itself was known by another name, Rinam, in our scriptures. This duty is also known by another name called Rina. It's a very beautiful and very interesting concept. In our sampradaya only, in our tradition alone, this Rinam concept is there. Rinam means actually indebtedness, Rina. Duty was called a debt. See, look at that. Duty was called a debt in our scriptures. Duty was called a debt, a Rina. When you pay back your Rina, you got money from somebody, you paid back. When you pay back the rinam from him, do you expect that guy to reward you? You got $100 from him, you paid back. He said, very nice, you paid $100, take $10. I want to give you a reward. Does it happen anywhere? It's a rinam. So when you paying back the money is your duty. You got it from him, pay back. So you don't expect a reward or appreciation for that. The ability to pay back itself is the reward. Right? When you pay bills every month, it's a reward. There may be a month, somebody may not be able to pay the bill. This month, God, Lord, you're able to pay my bills. It's a reward. That's the thing, that's how we have to take every time. I am able to spend my month without getting any loan from anybody. Everything is fine, no credit card, outstanding, fine. That is how one has to take it. Life should be taken like that. So, similarly, I, as a father, as a mother, anybody else, they have to bring up their children, all that thing as a sense of duty. Do not expect anything from them. If the children do not recognize that, then they failed in their duty. You don't worry about them. You do your duty. If the children fail, they fail in that duty. What you can do? Actually, that's why Swami Dayananda, he says a very beautiful thing, that the whole society is based on, if it's based on only duty, there will be no problem at all whatsoever. The whole society is based on only duty, no problem. Normally, what husband knows the duties of the wife. He knows precisely. What he doesn't know? His own duty as a husband, he doesn't know. Convenience. Why is duty ignores? Most husbands. These are all, you know, in reality we see this, even though it looks amusing to us, but ask ourselves. So every time, you know, we try to find fault with
other person.
Always. Because we are always right. should all the time apply. So this is, so that's why Swami says that if, see, everybody knows their rights, they don't know their duties. So in a right based society, always what? It's a fight based society only. Like, always fight. Everybody's right, it's my right, birthright. It's a fight based society only. There is no respect for other person at all. That's how it is. So where there is duty based society, when everybody thinks it's a duty, then there will be humility. It is my duty, so I'll be humbled. There will be humility in me. So the moment we are born, we have got three runams. All of us do not have, everybody doesn't have to think, I have no bill to pay, no runam at all. We all, when we are born as indebted to somebody. Three runams. One is Deva runam. We all owe to the Devas, to the gods. Because they provided this entire world for us. The entire thing, as Swamiji says, we are not born in a 1-star, 2-star, 5-star hotel, million-star hotel. Look at millions of stars. The entire world is provided to us. So, if you don't take advantage of whatever is available in the world, whose mistake it is? It's our mistake. So, it is Deva Rinam. The Lords have provided that. Then Rishi Rinam. The Rishis are the people, Vedas. They are the ones that teach us what is right, what is wrong. Our scriptures. So, this is Rishi Rinam, which are all got by our Rishis. We owe to them. And then Pitru Rinam, to my ancestors. Whatever life today I have is because of my ancestors. So this is what I have to think for my father, for his father, forefathers. So these three runams everybody has. So we have to definitely do something in this life to get rid of these runams. Then only when we go away, we will go neutral. Otherwise we will go rini only. In addition to the credit card rini, this rini also. That's what we will be. So we should. Deva Rinam, most people try to take care, no problem. They go to the temple, build a temple, do archana, prayers. Many prayers are for themselves, that's fine. No prayer for Lord's sake. But at least they pray. They believe in the God and they say, oh, this God is supreme, he is going to give me this and that. They believe in that. Good. Deva Rinam to some extent. Rishi Rinam seldom. Because how many people practice scriptures? They have to study the Vedas, the scriptures and propagate, support people who learn. All those things have to be done. They don't do that thing. So many of them don't do. So Rishi Rinam is like that. This ancestral rinam, Pitru Rinam also to some extent taken care. You know how? Not by doing Shraddha Karmasana, but bringing children. They should get good children, but they have to get good children, then the Pitru Rinam is paid. If it is not good children, if it is some, if they bring up a child which is like a wreck, it is a useless thing also. So by getting good children, and also doing all the Shraddha Karmas, remembering the ancestors all the time, these are all Rishi Rinam, Pitru Rinam paid back. So one should always try to make sure that they take care of these three Rinams, even though you have no other Rinam available, these three Rinams are available right at the time of birth. Okay. So he says, Tvam Niyatam Karma Kuru. Arjuna, your happiness comes not because of Karma Palam, but by the very Karma itself. Happiness does not come out of karma palam, but the very karma itself. And karma akarmanaha jayaha. And performance of karma with such an attitude, or karma yoga, or niyata karma we can call it, is certainly better, is superior to akarma in action. Akarma is in action, karma is in action. So duty is better than inaction. That is the conclusion here. Duty is better than inaction, doing the duty. And not only that, Sharira Yatra Api Akarmanaha Na Prasiddhaye. Sharira Yatra Api. In fact, even in the Sharira Yatra is not the final Yatra. For locomotion of day-to-day life, that is Sharira Yatra. Everyday life I am running, right? That is Sharira Yatra. The very survival of this body, the very living requires performance of karma. We have to do karma for the mere existence. It will not be possible without karma. For me to just sustain, it will not be possible without karma. Even if you become a sannyasi, for the sake of Sharira Yatra, that basic karma like food, clothing, cleanliness, all has to be done. Even for a sannyasi. Here you earn through, you know, by doing some work, there you ask bhiksha. That is the only difference. A sannyasi has to ask bhiksha. For a grahastha, he has to go work and earn. Both are work only. But that also is a type of karma. Even seeking bhiksha also is a type of karma only. So even for mere survival, a person has to definitely do karma. Because the very creation is based on karma. Very entire creation based on karma. Life itself is nothing but a series of karma.
Life itself is, look at it like that. Life itself is a series of karma. That is why we cannot find anything stationary in creation. In creation, everything is moving. Everything is always moving, whether it is sun, whether it is an atom. Doesn't matter. Always in motion. Right? That is why in science there is a beautiful concept. There is something called a zero point energy. Even if you now reduce the temperature to absolute zero of temperature, even though all other motions are stopped, the basic vibration continues still. So you cannot stop it. You can never stop it. So when the whole creation is in action, how come you alone can remain in inaction? It's not possible. You should be also in action. So inactivity is equal to what? It's death. Inactivity is equal to death, and activity is equal to life. So activity is life, inactivity is death, and do you want to live or die is the question Krishna is asking to Arjuna. So sharira yatra api, even the journey of the body, the living, na prasiddhaye, does not take place by what? Akarmanaha. If there is no activity. There is no activity, that does not take place. Yajñārthāt karmaṇon yatra.
Yajñārthāt karmaṇon yatra.
Lokoyam karma bandhanaha.
Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha.
Yajñārthāt karmaṇon yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha.
Yajñārthāt karmaṇon yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Yajñārthāt karmaṇon yatra. Lokoyam karma bandhanaha.
Tadartham karma kaundeya.
Tadartham karma kaundeya. Tadartham karma kaundeya.
Mukta sangha samachara.
Mukta sangha samachara. Mukta sangha samachara.
Tadartham karma kaundeya. Mukta sangha samachara.
Tadartham karma kaundeya. Mukta sangha samachara. Tadartham karma kaundeya.
So now Krishna is going to look at Karma Yoga from a different angle. As I told, different angles. So the first angle that we saw was the angle of duty, performing the karma as my duty, as a debt to the Lord. We said debt and duty are synonymous. So as a debt to the Lord, one has no option to that. Has to compulsorily fulfill one's duty. That was said earlier. Now from the 9th to the 12th shloka, Krishna is now going to talk through another angle. He calls it as an yajna. Action, karma yoga. He calls it as an yajna. It's the most important concept. It means worship or puja of the Lord. Yajna means worship or puja. In the previous case, my attitude was what? I am the servant, Lord is the master. As we said that Adi Shankara's commentary. So Lord is Ishvara, is Swami. And I am the servant. That was the attitude. So with that attitude, I was performing. But now what is the corollary to that? If I have that attitude, then naturally what I will have? I will have an element of fear. Because he is the Lord, he is my master. So if I don't do things right, he is having, you know, that's why Lord says, first I try to alert you by blowing my conch. First I am trying to alert you by your reasoning, wisdom. So he is holding a lotus on hand. Then he has a conch. He blows his conch to alert you again. You don't hear again. He has his dandam, this gather or something. Hit. At least you listen. You don't. For that also, he has his chakram. That's it. So the Lord really tries to help you in so many ways. But if you don't, he has to establish dharma somehow. So he has to do that. There's no choice. So here, the Lord do it as an yajna. That's the most important concept in everything. So naturally, there can be some element of fear if the Lord is the master. So even though the attitude is good to keep us in commitment that we have to perform our duty, people generally follow law under the fear of punishment. You don't go fast because he is going to give a ticket. I don't go fast because that is the rule of the land. No. If that guy is not there, I'll fly. If he is there, he is going to give a ticket. So that is fear of this thing. So people may feel, karma yoga is my duty, if not, God will punish me. If If I don't perform karma yoga, Lord will punish me. So actually, Veda says that. Bhishas matvatapavate bhishodeti suryaha bhishas madagnischendrascha mrityurdhavati panchamayiti. By fear of the cosmic order, vataha pavate, even the wind blows. Bhishodeti suryaha, sun rises. Bhishas madagnischa indrascha, even Agni and Indra, all these powers, they function out of fear of the cosmic order. And the height of it is what? Mrityu Devata. He runs. Mrityu Davati. Runs from here to there. He has to kill so many people in Afghanistan. So many in Canada. Everybody has to run. Mrityu Devata has to be always on his heel. Why? Because of fear of the cosmic order. To keep Dharma in order. Even these Devatas, out of fear, they are running. Fear means respect of the cosmic order. That's what they have to do. So, in the Swami Vridhya Nyaya also, I obey the command of the Lord, but out of fear. There is an element of fear, possible. But in this attitude of Yajna, one looks upon the Lord as a benevolent Lord. Not as a threatening Lord with a chakra and gada and all. As a benevolent Lord, a loving Lord, a mother-like Lord who has given everything for my sake. In Acharya, Saundarya Lagari Acharya says, Vanchasam Adhikam Datum. Always because of her karuna, more than whatever I would ask, whatever I would need, she gives. Because karuna is so much, compassion is so much. So like a mother, always, you know, these children, in the grandmother, not the mother, the grandmother, how they would feed it. The child, they give a plate to the child and then put food in the plate. The child will take only, you know, how the children take food. Very difficult to make them eat. And they put all this food. And then when the child is not looking, she will say, only this much I have put. Please eat. And the child will be looking here and there. She will add, without the knowledge of the child, some more. Because of one child. Because of compassion. She wants the child to eat. See, that compassion, that will you get. The Lord provides. That's why Ambal is described as Vanchasam Adhikam Dhatu, the one who gives more and more than even what you can ask, what you know how to ask. So right from conception, nutrition, or then one while I was in the mother's womb, and the air to breathe, everything the Lord gave, the corresponding type of food depending on the ages of my growth, all those things were given. That's an extremely efficient method of, actually, for water. That's a We can put any number of desalination plants ourselves. The natural desalination, who can ever make such a factory anywhere? The natural desalination of, you know, the ocean water going into the clouds and coming back as rain, pure water, distilled water, where you can make such factories? The Lord provides all that. Right? So every moment I think, I find that I got much more than from the Lord than what I can ever pay back. I always that attitude should be there all the time. Every time I enjoy anything, this Lord has given much more to me than what I can ever pay back to the Lord. So any sensitive person would like to express his or her gratitude to the Lord for whatever they have got, they should do. So actually, Swami, if you pay back what the already I have, how much, you know, I can pay, questions all will come for people. For example, if you really think about an accident, you can figuratively say, an oxygen tank for somebody to breathe, an oxygen tank, right? For somebody to breathe, they give. How much you have to pay for the oxygen tank? Maybe a few $100, whatever it might cost, right? Now think of the whole oxygen that is there in the system. How many oxygen tanks it will cost? Can you ever repay that thing back? You can never pay those things back at all. So this is how the maturity of gratitude should come. That I owe it to the Lord. It is out of gratitude. It's my thanks. It should not be forgotten any time. So whatever I receive from somebody, I should always try to give back. How can I express my gratitude? I cannot pay back to the Lord. What I can pay back to the Lord? Only one thing we can do is what? Whenever we get anything from the world, whatever we get from the world, before enjoying it, for one moment, I think of the Lord. Because in the world, so many things I get. So before I start enjoying it, think of that Lord. That's why all this grace, sitting on the table and then praying to the Lord, Annapurne, Sadapurne, all these lokas, Brahmarpana, Brahmahavihi, all those things are what? Gratitude to the Lord. Today I got the table on this, I got 3 square meals today because of your grace. That attitude should be there, all that.
So second way is, whatever the Lord expects of me, I should not do it without any murmur. I do without any murmur, I should do it with an attitude where happiness, oh, this is Lord's commandment, I should do it. If he has done so much, and if he is asking only for a few things in return, few duties to perform, then I should be able to do it with happiness. I should not shirk duty, I should be able to do it with happiness. It is like a tree, it's a tree, you know, it is giving so much. Tree is giving so much. What are the things it gives? A shade, it gives beautiful fruit, the entire body of the tree is useful, fruits, everything. What all it has? Little water. That we should be able to give. So that is all it asks, the Lord asks. So Krishna says here, as long as your actions are in the form of yajna, or in the form of yajna, then you will never be worried about the results of your action. It is the gratitude that you are now expressing through your action. That's what you will think. So even before doing any karma, you have got already plenty in return. That's what we should think. Before I do any karma, already I have a lot of things in, so much I have already got. Nothing more to expect anymore at all. So the life itself is the most valuable gift, which we many times do not think. Life itself is the most valuable gift, which we have got free of cost. We just got, what did we do to get our life? We got it. We don't know the value of life because we are living today. That is the reason. You do, you know, think of a guy who has cancer or some patient. The doctor told him he will die in another 10 days. Look at that guy. He has 10 days to live. So think of that guy's attitude. So we take many things for granted. They are not given. We have to understand that. So this is a, so we are thinking of what we don't have all the time. We do not count our blessings. We do not think what we have all the time. So that gift of life we already have from the Lord. We already have that, and so I do not need any karma phalam at all. That gift of life itself is my great gift. So I have already got the phalam. So because I am a living being today, that's the phalam already. So let the actions be for the sake of yajna, as a sacrifice, as an offering to the Lord. Then we do not worry about the karma phalam. Then you won't worry about the phalam at all. That is the attitude with which you should do. So yajna arthatim karmanaha anyatra. In any type of karma which is not meant for yajna, actually the word yajna, it can be taken up here as worship. Or another meaning also we can say that it is, as Shankaracharya says, yajna means the Lord himself. You know, yajna arthat karma means a karma for the sake of worship of the Lord. Ishwarath ityartha. One can take it. So actually in Vishnu Sahasranamam, the one of the names of the Lord is yajnaha. Yajnaha. Yajnyo yajnyapatri yajnyo yajnyango yajnyavahanaha. So yajnyaha, first name is yajnyaha. Lord's name itself is yajnya. So yajnya is one of the names of the Lord. So in the case of any karma not meant for God, I am lokaha karma bandhanaha. You do any action without, as an yajnya for the Lord, I am lokaha karma bandhanaha. These people, lokaha refers to these people, the people of this world, karma bandhanaha, they will be all bound by karma. Karma means the panam. They will be all bound by the karma palam. So first they cannot enjoy the karma because since they are interested only in the palam. See, when I am doing a karma, I can enjoy the karma and do it. But what I am interested always, what I am going to get out of that. So I cannot enjoy the karma now. My attention is always in what I am going to get. So karma itself is not enjoyed. So karma, I am only interested in the salary, but not in the job itself. Salary comes in the end of the month. So I am only looking at the salary that is coming, so what bills can be, what are the things I can do, all that thing I am planning. The karma itself I do not enjoy. As doing, you should enjoy that. And what about karma palam? Okay, that also being highly unpredictable. Karma palam is predictable, it is unpredictable. It may give enjoyment or it may not give enjoyment. I do not know about that. So it may even give depression. We don't know. So you better enjoy the karma now than being depressed later when the karma palam comes. So that's what Krishna says. By comparing with, high depression will come. The guy who worked very hard, he got a raise, he's very happy, right? He got a raise in the office. But he's very depressed suddenly. Why? Because the office mate got twice the raise than him. So much raise. He also got a raise. But he is now depressed because the office mate got twice his raise. Problem. Always comparing with other people. So this always, so life will be miserable most of the days. Possible all the time. So, except for such a people, you know, unless they know, they do karma with a liking. I do karma with this passion. I like this. That is attitude one should take. So our lives are such that most of our time is only work time. If you really think, you know, we work normally, you know, people work 9 to 5, but they bring work home, and when they drive also, they think of work. So during eating also, they think of work. It's only work most of the time. So best thing is to enjoy that. Otherwise, it will be depressing ourselves, right? So whatever you do, enjoy that. Try to enjoy that thing. So for a karma yoga, for a karmi, he is going to be always, you know, he is going to be always taunted. Oh my God, what is it? I have to get up so early. I have to go to 6 o'clock. I have to leave for New York, come back so early late. He is going to be always depressed about it. But for a karma yogi, it is not like that. He enjoys the very performance of the karma. Whatever action he does, he enjoys it. He will not murmur at all. He is not going to murmur. He may sit in the office even till midnight. Doesn't matter, to finish the work for his own sake. Not because boss wanted. He wants to finish it for his own sake. If I complete it, I am happy. So he wants to complete it. He wants to do the best. So the first advantage of karma yoga is, I enjoy the very karma. That is the first qualification of a karma yogi. I should enjoy my karma. That karma may not, your karma may not be an enjoyable karma for other guy. Don't worry about him. I told you about that, the cat and dog story. Don't worry about that guy. Do you like it? You like it. Learn to like it. For example, if you want to be in that karma only, job only, sometimes, many times people may not like that job. So if you have the ability to quit that job and find some better job, fine. That's good. One can do that. If not, do not despair. Try to learn to like it. Because every karma, if you are not doing it, somebody else is going to do that karma. So every karma, it has to be done. So if not, somebody is going to do it. Fine. So let me do it. Let me enjoy it. So in case of karma palam, then it can produce reaction. So in karma, I should try to enjoy the karma itself. But when it comes to karma palam, karma palam produces reaction. Always it produces reaction, distraction. All those things will come, which Krishna calls as karma bandhana. So all those reactions, all those agitation, anger, worry, they are all karma bandhanas. So in the case of any work not meant for worship, the man is bound by that karma. So any karma which is not meant for worship, the person is going to be bound by that karma. So Arjuna, if you want to enjoy every moment of your life, the best thing is what? Tadartham karma kaunteyam samachara. What a beautiful sentence. Do karma only for the sake of the Lord. All the actions you do, do for the sake of the Lord. Instead of getting ananda through the karma palam, instead of waiting for that happiness to come through the karma palam, the result and material, whatever it is, find happiness in the karma itself. In the karma itself, enjoy the karma. That alone you do it. Tadartham karma kaunteya. Do the karma for that sake, for my enjoyment of doing this karma. I am able to do the karma. I am able to be healthy today. I am able to perform this action. My hands and legs are all functioning properly. Mind is working properly. How many things to be thankful for when we do a karma? We don't think of all that generally. So, and also mukta sangaha. When you do the karma, do it with detachment. Mukta sangaha. Mukta sangaha with total detachment. We have already actually explained the word detachment in the previous shloka. I told without attachment, detachment. This is asaktaha. In the 7th shloka, we explained the term asaktaha. Same as mukta sangha here. Mukta sangha and asaktaha are same without any attachment or with detachment. Detachment means what? Is the readiness to receive any karma phalam. That is detachment. The readiness to be able to receive any result. Does not matter. Maybe a result you may like, may not like, doesn't matter. You should be able to receive them. Therefore, Arjuna, with the readiness to receive any phalam, kaunteya, karma samachara, you take to activity. Tadartham. Tadartham means yajnartham. Yajnartham for the sake of yajna. As an yajna, you do it. Not only that, your activity should be what? Samachara, samachara, samyak achara. Once you begin to love the activity, you will begin to do every action in a perfect manner. Samachara, samyak achara. You will do it very well. You will do it. You will put the best foot forward. Because it's an action you like. So you want to do the best thing possible. After some time, once you make the best effort to do any action, you will learn by yourself, learn to like that action itself. So samyak achara, you do that in the perfect manner, best manner. It is for some other sake, if I do a karma, then I may not enjoy it. Then every action will be one of substandard one only for me. But if I am doing it for my own happiness, I will do it with
perfect attention and perfect effort beyond that thing. So if some superior is looking over, then they may, the moment he goes away, many workers are like that. You know, somebody is looking over you, then they will act as if they are doing all these things. If the boss is there, still he will sit in this. So the boss goes, he will be in the office. And when the boss goes, immediately that's it, wind up and immediately leave. People adopt all these techniques because they want to please somebody else. You have to please yourself first. Always we should be true to ourselves. Nobody is looking over us. We are looking over us. We have to justify to ourselves first than anybody else. So if I enjoy work, I will do it as best as I can. That is why Krishna uses the word samachara, samyakachara. Do it with the best of your efforts. That's what Krishna says. Actually, there is the next shloka will take some more time. So I am not going to do it today. We will do it in the next class. यो वेदादौ स्वरं प्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य च परः स महेश्वरः कृष्णार्थ नारायण यस प्लीज
सो राग द्वेष फॉर एग्जांपल आई एम मेकिंग माय क्वेश्चन वेरी